This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Montana's Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes explored the link between human trafficking and missing and murdered Indigenous people at a recent conference. Olivia Reingold has more.
On the start of day two of the three-day conference, human trafficking survivor and educator Jerry Muma asked everyone to write down factors that made their community vulnerable to human traffickers. Lisa Shorts is an administrative manager for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes' legal office. Here's what she put down.
First thing I came up with was lack of sense of community.
And tell me, what does that mean when you say that?
We used to have a sense of community as a tribal culture, and we kind of are getting away from that. We're getting more into individuality, and so we really aren't having any gatherings like we used to support each other.
Muma, the trainer, says it's factors like that, along with run-ins with substance abuse, domestic violence, and foster care, that can put Native American women at a higher risk of human trafficking.
Human traffickers really target individuals with vulnerabilities.
Throughout the three-day conference held at Salish Kootenai College in Pablo, Montana, Muma trained an audience of about 50 in how to recognize possible trafficking victims. The forum was the result of a resolution unanimously passed by the Tribal Council back in January. It established a work group tasked with creating an action plan, which is what this conference worked towards, drafting a policy response to the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women. The work group is looking to roll out a handful of initiatives before the end of the year, including a tip line and public awareness campaign in local schools. Its more long-term goal is to update tribal criminal law to include a code for human trafficking. For National Native News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
The Board of Directors for Americans for Indian Opportunity, or AIO, addressed the group's involvement in the Sauvage fragrance campaign. In an open letter to the public Wednesday, AIO said it deeply regrets participating in the Dior campaign. The letter goes on to say the group believed they had an opportunity to reshape longstanding damaging representations of Native people on an international scale, but said that did not happen as they intended. The statement comes after backlash from the Indigenous community over Dior videos on social media last week, which featured a Native American powwow-style dancer in an ad for the fragrance. Critics say the name promotes stereotypes and accuse the company of appropriating Native culture. The French luxury goods company has since pulled the videos from social media and YouTube, while the AIO board said it will work with its allies to address the situation. The Federal Court of Appeal in Canada Wednesday agreed to hear from opponents of the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion. The CBC reports the court will take up 6 of 12 appeals. At issue is whether the federal government adequately consulted with Indigenous people before approving the project for a second time in June. Those in opposition are concerned about threats to the water and environment. Other First Nations communities are in support of the project. A similar ruling over Indigenous consultation delayed the project last August, which led to a series of consultations between the federal government and First Nations. The expansion of the pipeline is intended to increase the number of barrels of oil per day carried from Alberta to British Columbia. The National Museum of the American Indian, based in Washington, D.C., has launched online material about American Indian removal with a Native perspective. The museum is working with tribes, including the Cherokee Nation, on the initiative Native Knowledge 360 Degrees to provide educators with teaching tools. The online resource available now is The Trail of Tears, A Story of Cherokee Nation Removal. The museum is looking to change the narrative about American Indians in the classroom by assisting teachers with history from a Native perspective. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the law offices of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska, and online at www.sanosky.com.
Support by PrairieEdge.com, where you'll find a variety of buffalo items like robes, skulls, rattles, and drums, serving the Native American community for over 36 years, located in Rapid City, or online at PrairieEdge.com. Wopila.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.